Please open up your pew Bible to page, I don't know what page it is, but it's in Joshua 24, 1 to, was it 1 to 3? I have a bulletin. Hold on. I'm going to get my bulletin. Joshua. You ever hear the old joke that Joshua wasn't a very nice guy? Because if you look at the books of the Bible, Joshua judges Ruth. Anyway, so Joshua 24, 1 to 3, and again 14 to 28. Let me grab my Bible. I left it back here. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift that you've given to us, the gift of the knowledge of your word, the knowledge that you, Lord, want us to know who you are and how you've loved us over the years, the gift of the knowledge of your presence. And the greatest part of that gift is that indeed through Jesus Christ the word was made flesh, and that flesh not only dwelt among us but continues to do so through the resurrection and ascension. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves this day at this time to your word, to your son Jesus. Mold and shape us. Open up our ears and hearts that we may hear what it is that you have for us. And in hearing, be challenged, encouraged, and changed. May your name be praised. In the name of Jesus, amen. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many." We're going to skip down to verse 14. "Now therefore revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And he said, Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "Lord, our God, we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you if you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritances. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And a fun and wonderful word it is. We'll get there in a moment. Last week, if you remember, and you don't have to remember because I'll tell you now. Last week, we talked about Moses. Kind of the end of the story of Moses. Last week, we closed a chapter in the life of Israel. Now, what's very important to realize is that we closed a chapter, but we didn't end the entire story. We talked about last week is we find Moses up on top of the mountain, able to look into the promised land and see all that God would give the people of Israel. And though Moses wasn't able to enter the promised land himself, Moses died up there seeing what it was that God did through him. The story didn't end, nor did Moses ever think the story would end, because Moses knew that what he was doing through God, for God, and on God's behalf. So Moses was okay with it, because the story of God and the people of Israel would continue far beyond him. Now we move into the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is when Moses passes, Joshua takes over. And Joshua taking over, Joshua then had the responsibility to not bring the people out of Egypt and across the desert. That was Moses' job. Now Joshua's job is to bring the people through into the promised land and make way for it to be their home. The book of Joshua is an extremely interesting book, full of a lot of hardships and difficulties. Was it an easy road? Are you familiar with the story of Jericho, where they had the great walled city of Jericho and God told them to walk around the wall once a day, and then after the end of the week, seven times on that final day? Whenever I pictured this growing up, I pictured them outside of the wall of Jericho and then walking it like someone would walk a track around a football field. Wow, Lord, you must think that we need exercise. I really appreciate you giving us all this exercise. But then I watched the VeggieTales. And in VeggieTales, they had the people on the wall, or they were peas actually, pouring slushies over top of the heads of the people as they were walking around the wall. Making me realize that I'm sure the people of Jericho didn't take lightly that an entire nation was walking around their wall. So it kind of reinforced the fact that this road that they're on in obtaining this promised land from God was not an easy road. And Joshua was the leader through this entire time. In chapter 24, where we find ourselves today, the land is theirs. They have gone this entire road, and they find themselves at the end. We find ourselves at the end of this particular chapter in the life of Israel. They finally have a land that they can call their own. And if you read up to this point, what you see is that for the most part, they were able to subdue those who were before them and drive them out and make the land their own, but some of them, they weren't. And so Joshua, seeing all this land, gathering all the people and realizing that there are still other people amongst them, says to them, you guys have a choice. Because now we're in a land that is inhabited by other people who worship other gods. You have a choice. That choice is, are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve the other gods that are of this land? Joshua makes a stand right here and right now in this very moment, and he says this famous line that is written in many people's homes, either on a nice little plaque carved out of wood or stamped in brass, and he says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. A definitive statement in the face of other temptations, saying that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what temptations come up against me, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choice is what Joshua is offering the people. We have choices. Lots of choices. In fact, I think that's one of the main thrusts of our lives. You go to the store and you want to buy, try this for fun. I've thought about trying this. Say to your spouse, would you mind, while you're at the store, picking me up a pair of jeans? Okay. That's it. A pair of jeans. So they go to the store and they grab you a pair of jeans and bring it home. And you say, oh, these aren't the jeans I was thinking about at all. I wanted the bootcut jeans that are acid washed. Because we all know acid wash jeans are beautiful. With tears in the knees and frays at the bottom. We got all kinds of choices. My goodness. You go to a restaurant and you say, I would like a steak. What's the first question? How do you want it done? What are your choices? What are your choices for your steak being done? Right. Rare, medium, well done. Or if you want to be extra particular, which I am, you can have medium rare or medium well. I've never quite heard rare well. I don't know. That'd just be medium, I figure. We got choices everywhere. I have to buy a pair of running shoes. I have no idea what to buy because there are hundreds of running shoes out there. And with so many choices, the impact of the choices are diminished. Because if we don't like what we choose, what do?
Take it back.
If we say medium rare, and they bring back our steak, and we don't think it's the medium rare that we want it to be, send it back. In fact, some restaurants, if you order a steak and you eat it and you say, oh, this is awful, and you say, you know, I changed my mind, I'd like a chicken instead. They'll take it back and give you a chicken. The consequences of the choices that we make today are oftentimes not as big. We don't like something, we just go out and get something else. We don't work to like it. We don't work to make it better. We just get something else. This isn't the choice that Joshua has in mind. In fact, what I love about this scripture is Joshua's reaction to the people, because he says, choose you this day who you're going to serve, and as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And the people said, well, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but we skipped a whole section. The section that we skipped was the story of the salvation of Israel from Egypt and what God has done to bring them to this point. It's all the steps that God had went through in order for the people to be where they are. And the people respond, well, God brought us to this point, so we choose God. Joshua's response to them is, you know, on second thought, I don't think that's a good idea. He says, because it's not a good idea, because this isn't a choice you can back away from. And I know you people, and I know that you like to back away from your choices. So, you know, instead of choosing God and then eventually backing away from God, well, just don't choose God at all. Go choose these other gods that don't even matter, and you can back away from them all you want because they don't care. But God cares. God has done all this stuff for you, and God cares about the choice that you make. God cares whether you turn his back on you or not. And if you turn your back on God, God will let you know that you made a wrong decision. So are you sure? And the people say, yes. Yes, we are absolutely sure. This is what we want to do. This is our choice. So Joshua goes through this neat little ritual where he sets up a giant stone And he says, this stone is a witness to everything that has been said. May this stone be a reminder that of the choice that you have made, because it has heard you say that you choose God. Now, it's not over yet. And I love this last part. Joshua then, after erecting the stone, let me see. See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you if you deal falsely with your God. And here's the final scripture. So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritance, basically saying, you have made your choice. That's good. Now go home and show me what that choice means to you. This culture gives us so many choices that the consequences of those choices seem small. But this choice that we've made in our lives to follow Jesus Christ, it's no small thing. It's no laughing matter. We learn through the gospel that what God did for us in order for us to be able to make the choice was to give his son. And not just give his son in such a way where, you know, he sent his son to college, you know, and paid a little extra money and spent money on us, and so we should be grateful. God spent his son on us and gave the life of his son for us. Jesus went to the cross, suffered torture, and died for us. That's what was paid on our behalf. So the choice that we make to follow Jesus Christ is no small choice. It's our life that's on the line. Our spirit, our soul, and the life of those around us. For it's a choice that not just affects our own lives, but it's a choice that affects the lives of all who we come in contact with. And when we proclaim with the nature and the attitude of this culture that we find ourselves in, I choose God, and then go out and live any way we please, what we then show through our action is that the choice we make is of no consequence or value. But then when we make the choice in the attitude of which God gives us his son and the life of his son, then we say this choice changes my life and changes everything. I choose God above all else through his son, Jesus Christ. It's not an easy choice, nor is it ever meant to be. It's a choice that changes not only our lives, but in fact the history of our family. And so I pray that through the spirit and love of Jesus Christ, we can all proclaim along with Joshua, as for me and my house, I choose the Lord. And that when we go back to our homes, we make that evident by the love that we share with our spouses, our children, strangers, co-workers, our enemies, that they too may know that as for me and my house, we have chosen the Lord. And we praise God for that.